We gather this evening in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. Want to welcome one and all. Glad to have you in worship. A special welcome to guests among us. Glad to have you with us. We do have some connection cards in the pew in front of you there if you'd like to give us your information. That's also a place for anybody if you've got a prayer request and to put that on those cards and then hand those to an usher or in the offering plate later on in the service. Just a couple of announcements before we begin this evening. First of all, our special offering for, this is still November, we're almost in December, but we continue that Lutheran World Relief offering for the postage, for the quilts and all the other kits that we are sending or have sent overseas. So just be thinking about that for the special offering above and beyond your regular gifts and offerings. Reminder also, on December 14th, we have our biannual congregational meeting, and that will follow the 10:30 service. The biggest things that day, of course, are budget and council elections, among a few other things there on that list. And we'll have packets, I think, next weekend to hand out before that meeting. There's also flyers in the back if you're interested in any of the events coming up. One is the Nativity display, and that's next weekend, by the way. So 5th, 6th, and 7th. And because of that, just a reminder for this group, we will have Saturday night worship down in the Fellowship Hall next Saturday. And so that way you're right there and you're there to go see and visit all the nativity displays there. I think they also have coffee and cookies or something down there as well. So a little incentive for you there. But anyway, that event going on next week. We'll let you know that Pastor Clint will be here next weekend as well. We're in our rotation, so Pastor Sieg will go out to our sister congregations at Doss and Cave Creek, and Pastor Clint will be in here this next weekend as well. Also, there are some flyers back in the back for anybody that would like to sign up for the Christmas dinner. That, of course, is December 25th. Begins serving at 11 a.m., but if you'd like to be on that list or you know somebody that you'd like to encourage to come to that, please take one and have them fill that out. We do have an RSVP so that we kind of have an idea of the count of folks that we will be serving. Also, reminder, on that same Sunday, 2 weeks ahead of us here, is the African Children's Choir. They will be coming in that Sunday afternoon and have a concert that Sunday evening on December 14th at 7 p.m., If you've seen them before, you know they're just a wonderful group, and they're coming through again. And so Daniel has all of that arranged for us. Believe it or not, even though it's not December and Thanksgiving's over, you see the blue all around. It's Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, as we begin our season of preparation and celebration for Christmas, and of course, looking ahead to Christ coming again. And that's our focus for tonight as we look at the Advent, beginning of this Advent season. We are here to worship, so I invite you to please stand as you're able as we turn to our confession and forgiveness. We also do have a bit of a hymn sing tonight, so there's a little verses of several hymns that we'll be doing tonight for our service as well. We begin this evening in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence and a sense of urgency, confessing our sins to Him. And so we take a moment to confess to God in the silence of our hearts. Hear this good news. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for His sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Amen. We got a couple of opening hymns here. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to prepare our hearts and minds to receive Christ into our hearts. Give us a sense of urgency so that we may be prepared and ready for when you will come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Advent is a time of preparation, not just for Christmas, but also for when Christ will come again and judge the world. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36, Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the floods came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the word of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Today we begin the season of Advent, which is a season of preparation. And now most of the focus at this time of the year, of course, is concentrating on what has already been. And what I mean by that is the Christmas event, with the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That event, of course, was pivotal in human history as God entered into this world in the flesh to fully take on the life that you and I live, experiencing everything that we encounter. And we know and we believe that Christ came not just for that reason, but he came with a greater purpose, which was to suffer and die for all of humanity, to take our sin on his body, dying in our place, that we might be set free from sin and death and celebrate that victory of a new and eternal life that will be spent with God forever in eternity for all those who believe. In that respect, of course, Christmas and Easter are intimately connected through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, what he came to do on this earth. But I want to tell you, Advent also is a time for us to prepare for what is yet to come. I'm referring, of course, to Jesus' promise to come again. And we hear that promise in John 14, 3, where Jesus states, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We're also told in Acts chapter 1:11, as the disciples watched Jesus ascend into heaven, two angels came while they were still staring up into the sky, and they spoke to them, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And we state in our creeds that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. So Jesus is coming, and we need to be prepared. That's the more important focus for this season of Advent that we are embarking upon today. Speaking of preparation, I'm reminded of the grandfather who one day went fishing on a small lake. Putting his boat out from the dock, he jumped in and managed to get away before dropping anchor. Well, his grandson and son came down to the dock a little while later and noticed that Grandpa was just sitting in the boat with his head propped on his hands, not doing anything. And the grandson asked, "What's Granddad doing?" The father said, "Well, he was going to go fishing, but it looks like he left all of his fishing equipment here on the dock." The boy then asked, "Well, why doesn't he just row back in to get it?" And the father replied, "I think he would, except for he also forgot his oars." You could say that he was literally up the creek without a paddle, huh? Well, that situation, you know, again, could easily be remedied. But when it comes to our faith, to the preparation for what is to come, that is vitally important for us. It was John Tillotson, the Archbishop of Canterbury, back in the 17th century, who said this: "He who provides for this life but does not take care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." So we have to prepare for what is to come. But you know what? People get nervous and a bit anxious when we begin talking about the end times. As well we should, because it's something that we should not take for granted. Our Matthew passage tonight begins with verse 36 there, which is echoed also in Mark chapter 13, 32. "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only." And the text immediately preceding our passage today, earlier in Matthew 24, speaks about all those signs of the end. And of course, so does the book of Revelation, if you've ever read that. Some of those same prophecies are also present in the Old Testament, as well as in the book of Daniel and the prophet Ezekiel. I mean, think about this. Over the years, how many different groups or people have you known that have gotten so caught up in trying to figure out the signs and try to predict the end time that they've lost sight of reality? I could think of one group in particular that sold all their possessions and they went to wait on a hill for Jesus to return. Of course, that didn't work out so well for them. Or some of us remember the Jim Jones incident way back in 1978, if you've been alive that long, where he gathered many of his followers together and they drank the poison Kool-Aid, and over 900 people died in that event because they were led astray. There's been others, and we could name those all day long, but you know what I'm referring to here. Well, we need to listen to Jesus in his words, because they're very clear. No one, he says, knows the day nor the hour, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. One of the commentaries, the Bible commentaries that I read, was also very clear in its understanding of this verse. It said, "No one can decipher the day or even the year of his return in glory. Flee from those," it said, "who claim they can." Again, none of us knows. So quit guessing. And don't get so worried and so worked up about it. Have faith. Trust in God. It really is that simple. But we have to let go. We have to let go of the worry and the fear and remind ourselves who's in charge. It's not me or you. It's God. Because what could happen, right? Jesus could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come next week or next month or 1,000 years from now. We don't know. And yet you or I may not live to see that day. The day that we die is the day that you and I meet Jesus face to face. And that's what we need to be prepared for. As Paul reminds us in Romans 13:11, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's like rain. The old saying goes, we're one day closer to rain. So it is with our salvation. We are one day closer each and every day to that time, to that event, or to the day that we will meet our Lord and Savior. But it's not something that we should fear. It's something that we should celebrate and look forward to. We are told in the text, of course, to stay awake, to be watchful, to be on guard. And we're given a couple of examples of watchfulness or the lack thereof in our gospel passage. The first is that reference back to Noah and the flood. Again, what did Noah do? He proclaimed what was going to happen. The flood was coming. God's judgment was coming. And he built the ark, and that didn't happen overnight. It took months and months of hard work to do that. And people mocked him and made fun of him. But when the rain began, guess what happened? People were not prepared. The other example, of course, is the master of a house, keeping his house secure, not knowing at what hour, even what day, a thief might come in and break in and steal what may be in his house. It reminds us of the sudden nature of Christ's return, and it requires us, his people, to again remain ever vigilant, because to live without watchfulness invites disaster. And the verses about those who are taken and those who are left behind is a warning for us not to become so immersed in time and in this world that we forget about eternity. To never let our concern about worldly affairs, however necessary it is, completely distract us from remembering that there is a God and that the issues of life and death are in his hands. And that whenever he comes to call, whether it's morning or midday or evening or even midnight, that he may find us ready. I think, though, that we are in many respects like young children playing t-ball. If you've ever witnessed that, you know how that works, right? What's the purpose of t-ball? To help the kids learn the basics of baseball and to have fun while they're doing it. But the biggest struggle that coaches face is not the kids who can't throw, or the kids who can't catch, or the kids who can't hit. They can teach that. The biggest challenge is making sure the kids are ready. Because too quickly, what do? They lose focus. They get distracted by everything. You name it. And they would rather focus on that than on trying to hit the ball or catch the ball. I mean, it could be grass. It could be dandelions. Bugs or trash or butterflies or even dirt. You know, right? You've been there with your kids. I have too. I know. You go like, watch the ball. Get ready, right? Get ready to run to the next base. The batter's on the plate. Get ready. Be ready, right? It's frustrating, isn't it? Now you know how God feels with us, right? In the same way, we've got to be ready, right? Because again, we don't know how long Jesus will delay. So we need to be ready, ready for his coming again. As the writer of Revelation said to several of the seven churches that he wrote to, wake up. Don't be complacent. Don't be apathetic. Don't be lukewarm. Wake up. Be ready. So let's talk in some very practical terms about what it means for us to be ready. First of all, don't be like the thief on the cross in Luke 23:39 and following, who waited till the very last minute before he repented and confessed his faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ saved him on that cross, told him that today you will be with me in paradise. But if we wait till the last minute, we may not get that chance. We may not be able to respond. So don't wait until your deathbed to confess your faith in Christ. Don't put off tomorrow what might be vitally important for your eternal salvation today. The second thing is, don't gratify the desires of your flesh. Going back to Romans 13 again, verses 12 and following, St. Paul reminds us of those things that we should turn away from. He begins by saying, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. There's a sense of urgency in those words. And he goes on to say, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Again, we know in our hearts what's right and wrong. And yet we continue to be drawn to the sensual desires of life that seek to turn us away from God. This is the ongoing battle that I think all of us face every day between good and evil, light and darkness. Paul goes on to say in Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That's similar language to what Paul has shared with us in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on that full armor of God so that we are protected from the arrows and the flames of the evil one who continuously is attacking us to lead us astray. I want to go back to Romans 13, 12, which I believe also gives us some tremendous hope to help us focus on what is right and what is good. Paul says again, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. There it is, put on the armor of light. Well, what does it mean to put on the armor of light? For me, I go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5, where John shares these great words. In him, in Jesus, he says, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want you to hear that again. The light, Jesus Christ, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's power in those words. Because those words are written in the blood of Jesus, poured out for you and I on that cross, so that through him, the world would be vindicated. Through him, the world would be saved. Because Jesus rose up in a mighty victory when the world thought it had won the battle, when the evil had thought it had won. And he defeated the powers of sin, death, and the devil. And so I want you to remember that no matter what you may be facing in your life right now, no matter how dark the world may seem to you right now, no matter how far the end of the tunnel appears to you, remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And if you will simply call on his name, his light will overcome any darkness, any evil that you are facing. And he will give you hope for a brighter and a better future. And when you experience that light of Christ, don't keep it to yourself. Because Jesus also gives us a command in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we are also to be those little lights to reflect the greater light of Christ to a world full of darkness and despair. To make a difference, to bring hope and encouragement and strength to people and to point them to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, in this season of Advent, as we look ahead to Christmas, may we not forget to also think about your second coming, which is even more urgent for us in our lives today, to know that you may come again tomorrow, the next day, or even next year, or we don't know when. Only the Father knows when. But Lord, may we be prepared and not be complacent, not take it for granted, not be apathetic, but diligent and faithful. And so, Lord, help us in that journey. Help strengthen us in our faith. Help guide us each and every day, knowing that we are not alone, but that you go with us every step of the way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, help us not get complacent or apathetic in our faith lives, but always remain prepared, trusting in your mercy, leaning on your abiding word. Strengthen us in our faith and guard us from the evil one who desires to lead us astray. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we pray for any who may be sick or ill, those facing struggles or any hardships that the holidays may bring upon them. We pray for those who were hospitalized this last week, Roy Klein and Adela Wunderlich, for any others who may be recovering or facing treatments or tests as well. We also lift up to you those in our midst from the nursing homes or who may be homebound. Today we pray especially for Jose Reyes, Helen Allred, Connie Dittmer, Nelda Peeler, Margot Stahl, and Donna Adams. Grant to all who are in need your healing and your hope, Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign Lord, help us to trust in you, knowing that you rule in our lives and in our world, even when we struggle to understand all that's going on around us. Help us to trust you to guide us onward in our journey of faith as we seek the path that you have laid out for us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, as we experience the light of Christ in the darkness of our lives and are filled with hope, help us in the same way to shine that light of Christ to others, giving glory and honor to you and pointing others to you, you who are the way and the truth and the life. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And O Lord, guide us as we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's rise up for our closing hymn. Bum, bum, bum. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with his glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While